This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Coming up, an interview with the author of Waking Up White. Debbie Irving will speak tonight in Battle Creek. But first, the bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Kalamazoo, Paul Bradley, was one of 18 bishops who traveled last year on what was called a prayer pilgrimage for peace to the Holy Land. They met with leaders of all faiths in the region. Bishop Bradley will discuss that trip on Sunday at the annual peace service sponsored by the Kalamazoo Coalition for Peace and Justice. I spoke with Bishop Paul Bradley yesterday at the Diocese of Kalamazoo. Bishop Bradley, thank you very much for speaking with us.
You're welcome, Gordon. It's good to spend this time with you today.
How did you end up making this trip to the Middle East?
Well, there was an open invitation within the Conference of Bishops in the United States asking if there were any bishops that were interested in participating in this pilgrimage. I'd been to the Holy Land one other time, and the aspect of this pilgrimage, that it was going to be an opportunity for dialogue and discussion about the issues of peace, was very, very appealing to me. That plus my involvement with a couple of the different committees on the conference, I expressed my interest and I was invited to participate along with 17 other bishops.
Who did you meet with there? Who are some of the people that you had the chance to talk to?
Well, we did meet with religious leaders, political leaders, some of the more well-known people. We had the great privilege of meeting with former President Shimon Peres of Israel. We traveled to, he's now retired, of course, and living north of Jerusalem at a beautiful place on the Mediterranean Sea in a library that he's developed for the study of peace. He's quite an elderly man, just as diplomatic looking as he ever did, and he was extremely soft-spoken, but was generous with his time. We met with him for well over an hour as he expressed his hopes and dreams for his beloved Israel. We also met with Palestinian leaders, leaders in the Palestinian National Council, one of them being the Prime Minister, Rami Abdallah, of Palestine, and some of the council leaders that met with us. And we met with some of the staff of the Prime Minister of Israel as well.
Were there things that surprised you while you were there, or things that you think might surprise the layman who hasn't visited that part of the world, perhaps just follows it on the news and perhaps not all that closely?
Well, I think when we think of the Holy Land, at least from my perspective, we typically think of the place where that's sacred to the Christians. The place where Jesus walked, the place where Jesus worked his miracles, the place where he suffered and died and was buried and rose. So in this holy time of the year, you know, I think that's what Christians think about. But come to realize or to be reminded that this is a holy land for the Jewish people as well as the people of the Islam faith. The three great world religions all find a sacred place, sacredness to Jerusalem. And that's what makes the reality of the situation there in Jerusalem so sad and of great concern to everyone, because everyone is suffering from the lack of peace and the hostility, really, among the people there in that troubled part of the world.
So did you come away from this trip feeling more optimistic, less optimistic, or about the same about what the future of this region is going to be?
I have to admit, Gordon, when I went, I was not very well informed, I came to realize. I think most of us in the United States, most Americans would perhaps think that they're well informed about what the situation is in Israel, in particular in the Holy Land, because for the most part, we know what we hear from the news. But I think what I came to realize is that there's a whole part of the reality of life in the Holy Land that doesn't get reported. And or if it's reported, it's with a certain slant, shall we say. So there's a certain impression that all people of one part of that formula are bad people and the other part are good people. And of course, what you really come to realize is that's just not the case. There's good and difficult people everywhere. So I think what I came to realize is that I was not as informed as I thought I was. In that sense, what I learned, I guess I came back a little less encouraged from what I was able to observe. There are circumstances there in the Holy Land that have been problems for generations, and it seems that these problems are probably going to continue being problems for generations still to come.
And yet your address on Sunday is called A Message of Hope for Palestine and Israel. So where's the hope in there?
Well, I think the hope is what I was able to see. One of the places that we went to visit was Bethlehem University, which obviously is in Bethlehem, not far from Jerusalem. It just happens to be a Catholic university in the Holy Land run by the Marist Fathers. But it's a university for all young people from, you know, people of all different faiths and backgrounds come to that university. And to be able to see them there, just typical college kids with the same kinds of hopes and dreams and working at developing their careers and planning their lives, but doing so in a spirit of cooperation and in good relationships with one another, was very hopeful. We had an opportunity to sit and have a meal with them over lunch, to observe some of their class times, and to really have the opportunity to ask them, what do they see as they think of their lives 10 years down the road? Some of them were skeptical that things would change. Others were absolutely committed to themselves being a part of the formula for change in the future. So that part to me was very hopeful. I think it's with the youth, but in the meantime, there's still a lot of problems that have to be resolved.
As a man of faith, do you look at what goes on in the Middle East and observe that faith is part of the friction there, that part of the problem is you have people of many different faiths living close together with strongly held views, and that contributes to the friction and the problems there?
Well, yes. I think that faith is one part of the reality of life there. Faith is strong for the Jewish people, the Muslim people, and the Christians. I think they work very hard to try to see the commonalities that they share, the values that would be shared by all people of faith. However, faith isn't the only dimension. There's the cultural dimension. There's the historical and the political struggles that go on. Those are all parts of the reality of life there in Jerusalem, primarily, and in most of Israel. So it's hard to separate them out. They're all intertwined, and I think it's the political and cultural, which is tied into prejudice, really, for lack of a better way of putting it, that people have grown up with a certain sense of what another person is like because of where they're from. And so that can fill people with a certain amount of fear, distrust. I think in neighborhoods, people that grow up side by side, I wouldn't say that that's the case there. But the leadership is reluctant to move beyond what they stereotypically have come to understand about others. So to try to find constructive ways to resolve problems, people are willing and ready for you to give in as long as it's not me. So they recognize that people have to compromise. They just don't want to be the ones to do it. And I think that applies to everybody.
On the other side of that question, is faith part of the solution? And can faith leaders perhaps get many different parties to the table and convince them that, yes, compromise also means that our side's going to have to give something in order to reach the goal that we all want at the end?
Well, yes, I think faith has to be, and from my perspective as a person of faith, I think it's the only way ultimately that a solution is going to be found. And it's faith that will lead, along with reason, along with the sense of it's only reasonable to do what we need to do so that we all can benefit from this. Yes, I think faith has to be part of the solution. The religious leaders are very, very tuned into this. The leaders, the hierarchy, so to speak, the leadership of all of the major religions are very, very committed to working for peace and talking about peace and having the dialogue. I have to say, though, some perhaps are a little bit skeptical about the possibility, as we, this group of 18 bishops from the United States, come in and sit down and have meetings with them and tell them we're here to pray for them and with them for peace. And they look back at us with a certain smile on their face saying, yes, we've been doing that for 100 years. So thanks for joining in with us now. It's not a quick solution. It's not going to be a quick fix. It's going to be something that has to take a lot of hard work and a lot of compromise. The question is, are people willing to do it?
The statement that came out from the Conference of U.S. Catholic Bishops after this visit in September stated support for a two-state solution. Now, you and I are speaking on Wednesday. The Israeli elections were held yesterday. Benjamin Netanyahu appears to have won re-election. And stated right before the votes were cast that he no longer supports a two-state solution. I'm just wondering if that makes you any less optimistic about the future of the Middle East than perhaps you were when you left.
Yes, it does, because a two-state solution certainly seems to me to be the only fair way to go about this. You know, one of the things that I think I was not as well informed about, and maybe many people are not as well informed about, you know, when you look at this part of the world historically, Israel's only been there since the 1940s. The Palestinian people were there for generations, for centuries. And so all of a sudden, you know, their lands are being carved up and divided and taken over. And, you know, that's, I think there's a certain willingness and openness to that and a certain sense of hospitality. But if there continues to be only a sense that we're going to take more and more of the land, and there's not an openness to say, well, let's find a way to have two states, the Palestinians and the Jewish people, be able to find to share the oversight for the land, well, then that's not going to have a good result, I don't think, in the long run.
Bishop Bradley, thank you for your time.
You're very welcome.
Bishop Paul Bradley will speak on Sunday at the annual peace service sponsored by the Kalamazoo Coalition for Peace and Justice. His address is called A Message of Hope for Palestine and Israel. Links with more information can be found at WMUK.org.